Hello, and welcome to the first podcast of Hollywood Knitter. My name is Allison, and I will be your host. As this is my first podcast, I thought I would start off by telling you a little about me. My name is Allison, and I live in Los Angeles, California. I actually live in Hollywood area of Los Angeles, and I've been a knitter for about 10 years now. I taught myself knitting from a book, The Complete Idiot's Guide for Knitting or something like that, a few years ago when I was going through a tough time and I was home a lot and watching a lot of TV and I wanted to do something to feel more productive. So I come from a very crafty family and I decided to pick up knitting and I haven't looked back. It is definitely my obsession, as it is for a lot of people who take up the craft. I've decided to start a podcast because of a recent experience where I went to Camp Kip, put on by Jackie of the Kipping It Real podcast, where I met many, many podcasters who inspired me to try to do my own podcast and put something out there and to contribute to this community. I want to give a special shout out to Miss Calendar, the Brass Needles podcast, for really inspiring me to try and do this. Her episode on community shortly after Camp Kip was like, why am I not doing this? And I love listening to podcasts, and I would love to contribute and be part of the community by doing this kind of thing. And I'm really excited about it, and I hope you guys will all enjoy listening to it. As this is my first podcast, please bear with me as I work out technical difficulties and get used to talking to the air and a microphone. It's a little odd to do this, but I think it will get better with time, is what everyone says. So while thinking of my podcast and how I wanted to do it, how I wanted to theme it, I thought I would take a clue from my surroundings and where I live, which is Hollywood, California. I'm not originally from California. I actually grew up in Massachusetts. I'm a New England girl, and I lived there for most of my younger years, and I came out here for college and went to USC. Go Trojans! And I absolutely adore Los Angeles and decided to stay. I'm actually a civil engineer out here doing construction currently for a major municipality. And I just really enjoy it. So when I thought about a little theme, I don't want to do a heavy theme, but I thought I would kind of play on Hollywood. So my segments that I will be doing will be Now Playing, which will be my works in progress. And In the Can will be my finished objects, and then I'll have coming attractions for what I'm thinking of to do and what's in the queue, and then I'll also have a section on gossip, which will just be, you know, whatever's going on in my life that I want to share, as well as the Hollywood Knitter Award nominee, which will be my version of the favorite thing that a lot of podcasters do. And I thought at the end of the year or my first year that I will like pick my best favorite thing and like give like the Emmys or nomination. Like I have my nominations and then like what's my absolute favorite. And I think it'll be very interesting to keep a list of all my favorite things throughout the year. And then occasionally I will have LA stories and star sightings and give you little tips of little random crazy things that I sometimes think can only happen in the City of Angels, because it is definitely a different world out here sometimes from a lot of the rest of the country that I visited and where I grew up. So hopefully you'll enjoy it and I like it, and let's move right into the segments. So first up is Now Playing. I tend to be a semi-monogamous knitter. I try not to have any more than two or three projects going at a time, usually one big house project and then one travel project. Because of my job right now, I actually work a lot out of my car, which is where I'm recording this, while I watch some construction going on and do some inspection. So I tend to have a small project or something I can carry with me. So right now, my works and projects, I'm working on the Little Bit Socks, which is a pattern that I got at Camp Kip that is designed by the lovely Laura Linneman of the Knit Girls vidcast. And I'm knitting it in Cascade Heritage paints in this red colorway with streaks of blue. And I'm really liking the pattern. I don't normally do socks as the pattern is written. I almost exclusively do my socks toe up, but this time I decided I'm going to follow the pattern as written, and I actually want to make these socks for somebody else, and I have size 10 feet, and I usually size all socks for my feet, and then they tend to be big for other people, and I have too many socks. I do. I live in Los Angeles. I don't get to wear them that much. I mean, I do have hardwood floors, and I wear them a lot in the wintertime, but I have, like, you know, 20-something pairs, and I just don't wear through them. You know, I think I just wore through my second pair of socks, and I'm actually going to repair them because I actually love them a lot. So I'm going to darn the hole because I still have some of the yarn. So I thought with these socks, I would follow the pattern and I would follow it for like the size written with the hopes that it will fit somebody else. I actually do have someone in mind that I'm making these for, but I don't want to announce it yet because I want it to be a surprise for them. And there might be a chance that they might listen to this podcast. We'll see. So I'm doing those on US2s. I don't know if I mentioned that. And I do my socks in Magic Loop pretty much, either Magic Loop or two circulars. And that's just because I tend to throw it in my purse and it's easier than TPNs in terms of losing needles. Though I can do all three methods and I'll use them for different times. The other project that is a really kind of a big deal for me, because this is my first big Fair Isle project. I'm doing the Corey Fair Isle vest, which was a Knit Picks kit that I bought on sale, I don't know, a few months ago. And I don't know why I decided that. I actually started this in February, I think. Actually last November, my goodness, even longer. And I sort of started it and then I put it aside for a while. And I don't like things to sit in my UFU bin for very long. So I decided to pick it up and I'm knitting it probably 6 to 8 rows every night while I watch TV. And it's getting easier because I'm so excited. Like when I started it, I'm an English knitter, so I throw. I think I'm apparently some kind of weird combo when people see me knit in person, but I don't knit with a lot of knitters a lot, so I don't really get comments on my knitting, but I got some at Kemp Kip. Anyways, when I started this, because I've never really done Fair Isle and I don't knit with two hands and I don't hold and I don't throw and pick, is I was just picking one yarn up, knitting the stitches, dropping it. And I was like, the whole point of me doing this Fair Isle is to stretch myself. I have to try to learn to knit with, you know, one color in each hand. And so I got some books. I got the Alice Darmar book out of the library, and I looked in some of my other reference books, and I looked at the new Stitch and Bitch book, and I just made myself start doing it and start picking with the color in my left hand and using my right as the major color. And that's pretty much working for me because of me, they're using, it's usually one color of one and 5 stitches of the other, and then it goes into like 3 and 3, and then it goes, you know, all of one color. So I'm using my non-dominant, so my picking hand, for the stitches that I'm doing less of in the row. And it seems to be working really well. My floats seem to be large enough and loose enough that I'm hoping will work. Liking the colors, I chose the palette that is like the greens and the creams and the browns. I did change some of the colors around, not intentionally, but the chart from the colors, I couldn't tell the difference between like the light green and the cream, so I switched them up when I was doing it, and then I noticed later that I did, and I was like, well, I'll just switch it. So I've changed some of the colors around in the pattern as it's written, which I think will be fine. Hopefully I don't run out of anything. And I'm doing the long version and like the 36-inch bust. I'm a taller girl. I'm 5'8", and I have a little bit of a bust, and I definitely have hips, so I usually do add some shaping for the waist into the hips. So I'm really excited. I'm only about 15%, I would say, maybe done, maybe 20%. I've got maybe, I think I'm almost 9 inches, but I'm really excited because I'm really getting the two-handedness finally, and I feel like it's been a long time since I learned a new skill. Because I'm self-taught, no skill is too hard for me, and I tend to learn from a book because I am very much, I don't know, I can look at pictures and I can apply it to my hands. It's the engineer in me. And if it's explained to me or shown to me, I actually have more problems with that. I'm one of those weird learners. So those are the two that I'm working on. So let's move on to the next segment, which is In the Can, which is my recent finished objects. And I have one I'm going to talk about today, which were the Leyburn socks, which was the socks that I actually started knitting at Camp Kip with some Blue Moon Socks at Rock, medium weight, and Gertrude, which was part of the club, I think, 2 years ago when I was a member. I didn't knit the pattern as is, and I wanted to use it. So I was looking for last minute the night before. I went to Camp Kip. I'm like, I need a sock. I need something quick, easy to carry around. I don't have any on the needles. What am I going to do? And Leyburn had been in my queue in Ravelry for a while, and I think I had tried them once before, and they were too tight, and I had ripped them out, but I still like the pattern. And I think that it's a stranded kind of pattern where you pick the strands up, and it makes like these X's, and I think it's really good for a variegated yarn. So I picked it up and I brought it to Camp Kip and I started on it and it's beautiful. And then I tried it on because I was doing them toe up and they were too tight. And so I ripped them out at Camp Kip and started again and got, oh, probably about halfway in the foot. I tried it again and it was still too big. And I'm like, I'm being so lazy. Why am I not measuring my gauge and like doing the math? So I finally did that after I left Camp Kip. So for the third time, rip the sock out, do the math, cast on the right ones, and then it worked. So I finished these great socks, and there's not a lot of stretch in this particular stitch pattern, so that's why, and I was knitting at a different gauge, so that's why I had to do a lot of the math. But I'm really happy with them. They're on my wall. One of the things I do is I have these great wooden stock blockers. I can't remember where I got them from, but I have them actually hanging on my dining room wall. And so whatever the latest sock that I finish goes up on the wall, and it is art on my wall until I finish my next pair of socks. And then the socks lately have just been going in a box because I have too many, but I think it shows a little creativeness, and I'm usually really proud of my socks, and people are very impressed that I knit socks. So I think that that's a great way to display my knitting, is to kind of put them on the wall. I've thought of actually getting another pair of sock blockers and doing two pairs, but I think that might be a little too much knitting on my wall. So that is my latest FO, and I'll try to put a picture of that actually as the picture for this podcast. We'll see if that works. I think you can do that. So coming attractions. Well, what's coming attractions and gossip in one? This weekend is Memorial Day. By the way, I'm recording on May 20th, Friday, May 20th, and next weekend is Memorial Day weekend. And my boyfriend and I and some of his friends, guy friends, are going to this music festival in Orange County, California called Lightning in a Bottle, where we'll be camping for 4 days. It has been a long time since I went camping. I would probably say, and I was never a big camper, but it's probably been 8 or 9 years since I went camping. And I'm going with a bunch of guys, and they're not planners. I've been asking my boyfriend, who's bringing what? What's going on? Who can cook? What can you do there? And it's not happening. So I'm kind of trying to mitigate my stress by thinking about, what am I going to knit there? I don't know if it's going to be very hot, but I'm guessing it will be, and I'll be outside a lot and walking around, so we'll definitely have to be a small portable project. I'm thinking socks. I may just bring a little bit socks and just continue knitting on them, but I kind of like to bring a new project when I go on these things, because it's kind of like my memory project. When I go back and look at my knitting or look at the project, I remember knitting on it there. So my little bit socks I kind of associate with Camp Kip, even though I didn't start them there because that's where the pattern was from. So I kind of want a special Lightning in the Bottle project. So I might go in and look at some of the socks projects and look at some of my yarn. Or I was thinking maybe a shawl, like garter stitch shawl. I recently did the Daybreak, and I have some other Stephen West patterns that I've looked at that I think would also be beautiful that I might have some yarn in my stash for. So I'm still kind of, you know, pondering what I got to do. I have a few more days, but I do want to figure it out by next week and kind of do a trial run, cast on, make sure I have everything. I try not to bring a lot. And then I'll have a book because it's vacation, and some audiobooks and some podcasts. So I'm really looking forward to it. Even though I'm going with a bunch of guys, I think that the experience as a whole will be really, really interesting. And I hope to share more about it next podcast after I go and tell you guys about it. Because we're doing a few of these kind of things this summer, because we're really into this electronic kind of music, which is what's being played there. So that's kind of into gossip, and let's go into the next section, which is the HK Award nominee, which this week is The Walking Dead Trades. Now, I'm a big sci-fi fan, which is why Brass Needles is one of my favorite podcasts, and I watch sci-fi movies, TV, read it. And I'm also a comic book girl, thanks to my best friend, who is a comic book insane fan and got me into it a few years ago. And now I buy trades. I do not buy weeklies. I'm not a collector, but I like to buy the collection of multiple volumes of a individual issue of a comic into a trade. So it's more like a book format. And The Walking Dead, as you may know, was recently a TV show on AMC, but before that, it was an amazing trade. And I had read the first, I think, 7, and then I've been collecting the next, I think there's up to 14 volumes now, but I hadn't read them again yet. I like to kind of wait, and I had other things going on, but I was still buying them and collecting them, but I wanted to restart from the beginning. And then when I heard that they were making the TV show, I couldn't read them yet because I'm very much the kind of person that when a book or a movie comes out based on one or the other, like, I can't read them or too close to the TV show or the movie, or I won't be able to separate them in my mind. Like, if I love the book and the movie is too different, I won't be able to appreciate even if the movie is good because it strays too much from the book. So I like to have a fuzziness in my memory to kind of let me individually evaluate the movie or the TV show and see if it's good on its own merits, as opposed to just saying, oh, they didn't follow exactly this the way this is, and they forgot this scene and this was awesome. And I kind of like to not do that because they're different medias and they can't exactly go through every single thought like a book can or a trade. So I started rereading it again recently after the amazing The Walking Dead AMC. If you haven't seen it, see it. It is awesome. But it does stray a little, well, quite a bit, actually, from the first few trades. I'm interested to see where they're going to go in the next season for the TV show. Does the trades go amazing places? So it is my favorite thing for the week. I highly recommend, if you're a zombie fan, which I'm a huge zombie fan, love zombies, love zombie movies, TV, anything zombie, I highly recommend you pick up the Walking Dead trades. As I said, there are about 14 of them, and they do run $12 to $15 a trade, but the art is amazing. It's a black and white graphic, drawn very, very well. And the storylines and the characters, it's amazing. It's very similar to the TV show. It follows the main character, and it's what's happening around his life and his family. And I just think that the whole idea is fascinating, you know, this kind of apocalyptic event and what we do as people. I think it very much is it's very much a graphic novel about the human condition and what we can do as individuals, and it's just excellent, and I highly, highly recommend it. So it is my award nominee for the week. And I will make this a little short because it is my first one, but I did want to wrap up with an LA Story star sighting. I have a few of them, but this is one of my favorite ones, just because it just is. So a few years ago, I was going through a dating phase where I was doing online dating, and I treated online dating like a job because it kind of is. So I was going on, I think I went on 30 or 40 first drink dates in like a 3-month span. I was doing like 2 or 3 a week, trying to, so I would do emails, I would make sure that they weren't, you know, psychos or serial rapists, and that they could write and spell in complete sentences, which is very important to me. And then I would go on a drink date and have coffee with them, because you'll know very quickly when you meet someone if you want to continue meeting them, if you want to go on a second date and things like that. So I was on a drink date at a local farmer's, it's called the farmer's market, but it's not really a farmer's market. It's an open air place in Los Angeles that's been there for, I think, since the 1930s or 40s. And it has like food stands and bars and things like that. And it's outside, and it's a very fun place. And I highly recommend, if you come to LA, you should visit. So I was on a drink date, and we were having a conversation with this guy who, by the way, was not getting another date. And we're talking. And then all of a sudden, mid-sentence, he gets up and he looks beyond me. And he starts talking to the guy above me. Now, these tables are very close, so I knew that there was someone very close to me, and I actually remember looking over because I was very surprised. It was a couple and a small child, and they were having this wonderful Loteria Mexican food, which is amazing there, and they had brought this box lunch for the kid, and he was having like the saddest little box lunch, and I'm like, there's so much good food here, and I thought, thinking, wow, his mom is so mean. And so this gentleman gets up and he's like, I'm sorry, sir, I don't usually do this, but you're my idol, and I have to say hello and thank you. And he turns over and shakes his hand, and I look over my shoulder, because literally I'd been bumping shoulders with this guy, and I look up, and it's Harrison Ford. And I was just like, and he looks down, and I'm like, And I'm just oblivious. And he just pats me on the shoulder and he's like, that's okay, sweetie. And I was just like, oh my God, I've been bumping shoulders, rubbing shoulders with Harrison Ford, with Han Solo. And then I realized that the woman I thought was so mean was Calista Flockhart and her son. And I was just like, holy crap, only in LA. And I love LA, and sometimes, because like they were walking around, and of course people recognized them. It's Harrison Ford. But he didn't have too many people like going and mobbing him, and him and Calista were out having a meal. So yeah, that was my Harrison Ford moment, and he was very nice and very gracious, and actually is the most memorable thing about that drink date. It would probably be one I wouldn't even remember the guy if it wasn't for that. So in Los Angeles, you can bump into people just on the street, in the coffee shop, apparently be rubbing shoulders with them and not even realize who. And I am notorious for being very oblivious to stars. I just don't look up. I don't see them. I don't realize. And so I'll be walking. All of a sudden, my friend, oh, did you just see so-and-so? And I'm like, no, where? And it's like, you just, like, were standing next to him. I'm like, you know, they're real people. I would never go up to anyone in Los Angeles, and I never have, because they're living their lives usually. And I think it's very rude to go and interrupt their lives just because they happen to choose a profession, you know, where they're doing this. Now, if they're at an event where they're working, you know, red carpet or the cons or things like that, that's a little different. You know, that's part of their job. But if they're out having coffee with their kids, you know, it's not fair. So anyways, this is my first podcast of Hollywood Knitter. I really hope you enjoyed it and you will come back. And I promise it will get better. It is a little weird, this new format. I hope to have music soon. I was trying to look at music, but it's very weird, the copyright. So I'm actually asking my boyfriend, who is a musician, does some dabbling, to do something for me. So it will take a few weeks, but I'm hoping he'll do it. He's kind of excited. So this is Allison signing off in Los Angeles, and you come back to the next episode of Hollywood Knitter.
You can find the show notes at hollywoodknitter.com, and me on Ravelry and Twitter. It's Allison1031, that's Allison1031, or drop me an email at Allison1031@gmail.com. Happy knitting!